It's Loans and Izzy. 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 It's Loans and Izzy.
Welcome back to Clear to Close podcast. I'm here with my co-host
and husband, Ivan Benovich.
And we have a really special guest here today. Would you like to introduce yourself, sir?
What's going on? I am Chris Karageorge. I am the Talent Attraction and Career Manager at Thrive. Say that five times fast.
Ooh. Nice.
Talent and Career Manager. Talent and Career
Attraction.
I was going to say acquisition.
So it's a fancy way of saying recruiting, but we don't like to say that because sometimes it's a dirty word. But that is what I do.
So we're going to talk about that dirty word during this podcast.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I'm glad you do what you do because that's why I'm here. It's because of you, incidentally, right?
Yes, we go way back.
Yeah, we do.
I like to take at least a tiny bit of credit for the fact that the two of you are married.
Nice.
Because I technically hired both of you.
You were a very crucial cog in the machine.
I mean, it never would have happened.
Is now, yes,
right.
I think it would have.
Yeah, along with Andrew,
your soulmates, you would have found each other.
Yes, yeah.
Somehow, maybe.
But
wow, yeah, not veering off topic at all.
Yeah, not veering off. That's okay. The story of Angela. And
Give the people what they want. They want to know the real you.
They want to hear us.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you're here, and you know what? We're even more glad about. We're glad that we're working together with you again.
I know. I'm so excited about that. It's one of the biggest reasons that I decided to come to Thrive, really. I mean,
really,
you know, that familiarity is cool. And just the, you know, we've talked about this off air, the camaraderie that we had, and how much fun we had when we worked together at a previous company we shall not name.
The unnameable.
Right. And how much, and just how much that feels like that, only better now.
It does. You know? And, you know, I posted the picture from our summit on Facebook, and I had people saying, looks like the old crew from Prospect. Reminds me of the...
You know,
I said the
nice.
Name!
It's okay. It doesn't exist anymore.
Delete that clip, but they're
no,
not existing.
It's okay.
And rest in peace. You know,
yeah,
like,
R.I.P.
I mean, R.I.P.
Yeah. You know? It's a, you know, it's such a small industry. You know, it really, really is.
Yeah, it is.
Which is cool. You know, that's one of the things I love about it. And one of the things I love about Thrive, I mean, not just here in Houston, but nationwide, there's people that I've interacted with or crossed paths with in the past, you know, even like Lauren Riddick, head of our national renovation department.
What a great guy.
A cool guy. I know him from a few years ago. I actually was recruiting him at another employer and didn't quite work out for us, but it's cool to be working with him.
He seems really familiar and I don't know why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think he's just
I call him the mortgage evangelist. He will tell anyone who listens how awesome reverse mortgages are, and they are.
Yeah,
definitely a guy that you want to know and listen to.
Yeah. He was really, just the time we spent with him was really
the extra
awesome.
Session.
We need to get him here on our next podcast.
That'd be awesome.
This month, particularly, is Thrive Month.
Yeah, March Thrive Month.
Yeah, so we're going to have a few people on from our Thrive team, marketing, trying to get, you know, them on as well so we can, you know, talk about the great marketing tools they have, the great platform that we have here, which I think is like the best amongst other companies in the United States in the mortgage business. So, and then, you know, we'll have a few other people that we think are pretty special.
Don't drop any names yet.
No, it's a surprise.
Yeah, that's what you do on radio, right? You tease.
Yeah.
It's a surprise. So
keep listening
you gotta
for the next 10 minutes.
Yes, you got to tune in and find out what makes Thrive so great.
Yeah, great and special. Lovely and amazing.
So can you explain your title to us? I know it's just a title, but what does Chris do?
It's not just a title, though.
It's a title because there's more to it than just the
title. Yeah, so in a nutshell, I run recruiting and onboarding.
Okay.
So I have a team of two recruiters that work underneath my team, and then also an onboarding sort of concierge coordinator. Which is a new position that we've actually just created and moved someone really talented from the company into that. Hasn't even been announced. It's being announced today. By the time this airs, it will have been announced. But
nice.
You know, it's everything from how we position ourselves in the marketplace to attract, you know, talented loan originators and support staff. And then just that day-to-day active recruiting. You know, we know the nature of recruiting in our industry is very different than others. it would be great if we just put a job posting online and all kinds of amazing loan officers just
I want to go work for Thrive.
When that happens, that's when we know we've made it and we've actually achieved our long-term goal. But it doesn't happen very often. You know, people that are successful in this business, mm-hmm. like the two of you, you know that you have a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, you could work at any mortgage company you wanted, and no one would not want you to work there. You know, you're professional, you do good business, you're profitable, all that stuff.
Oh, thanks.
So we want other people like that, but we have to make sure that we are attractive to that segment of people. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that if you don't have all of the cool things that we do have at Thrive. That's really what attracted me here was, and it's interesting being recruited here to be the guy that then recruits others to come. You know, I had to really make sure I understood what are we selling? What makes us different? Right. What sets us apart? And I mean, it starts with culture. Everyone talks yes. about culture. Every company has a culture. Sometimes it's well-defined, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. Here, it's something that we just don't compromise on, you know?
Yeah.
We will, you know, you guys are pros. You want to work with other pros. You don't mm-hmm. want people within the organization that are taking up unnecessary resources mm-hmm. because they don't run their business smoothly, yes. even if their production level is high. Mm-hmm. It's just not worth it, you know? And mm-hmm. and so we are very, very deliberate on evaluating, first making sure we're attractive to people, but also making sure that they're the right culture fit for us. Mm-hmm. So that was the biggest thing that attracted me. And you can't do that if you're not kind of a level above, you know. If we didn't yes. have all the things we have and all of the great products and all the great support and the mm-hmm. amazing marketing team and everything we have, we couldn't then sit here and say, well, we're super selective about who we want to bring into the organization. You know,
exactly.
But because we do have all of that, we can be selective. And I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
I'd agree. I mean, and for the people that are wondering, well, why is it important to me as a consumer to know what goes into the talent attraction? Well, it is super important because the talent you attract and sign on, and therefore the loan officer trickles down. So when you're working with somebody from Thrive as a consumer, you're working with the best of the best because of the people that are in the position to put those yeah. consumer-facing employees in their places. So
that's a really good point. That's a really good point for any, you know, potential consumer listening to this. When you think Thrive, you should really know that whomever you're going to end up working with at Thrive is going to be a quality individual, somebody who has high integrity, has a lot of experience, knows what they're doing, mm-hmm. you know, closes a lot of loans, you know, that's a good thing. You want to work with the best,
right?
You know, the mm-hmm. people that actually do business, because we all get our business based on referrals. And if we don't do our job right, then we don't get more referrals. So if you find a loan officer who doesn't do very much business, it might give you a little bit of pause. Why don't they do much business? Because they don't have, people are not referring them customers because perhaps things haven't gone so smoothly in the past.
Correct.
So that was one of the things I wanted to ask you, what brought you to Thrive? So all of those great, you know, tools that we have here at Thrive. One of the other things that we've incorporated is social survey.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when you see social surveys on LinkedIn, that's also an indication of what the loan officers at Thrive are doing.
True.
So how would you use that to your advantage as a recruiter?
So I know social survey really well. I actually brought social survey into my former employer. They had this employer had a great reputation for service, but it was sort of unmeasured. They weren't doing customer service feedback. There was a link on the website if somebody hunted it down and found it, but that was it. And so we brought in social survey, and that really was a huge game changer because mm-hmm. when a customer gives feedback, and first of all, the way the social survey sets it up, mm-hmm. it makes your response rates really high because it's easy for the customer to do,
yes.
ask the right questions, and then, you know, helps us take all of those great reviews, and we don't hide the bad ones. It happens.
Right.
You know, we don't hide them.
I would be afraid if I saw nothing but fives and no bad reviews. Like, no one's perfect.
True.
The only
right.
perfect
there
person
are survey
is Jesus
companies
and
out
he's
there.
Not. You know, he's in heaven.
There are providers that do that.
Loans.
There are providers that do that for other businesses. There's providers that go out and get fake reviews and stuff. That's not this.
Yes.
It's all 100% real.
It's real.
And then to take it a step further, you know, blasting it all over the internet, telling our story, you know,
mm-hmm.
you can link that to your social media, your Facebook, your Twitter, your,
yes.
your LinkedIn,
Twitter,
Yelp, I think you
Instagram,
can do
Instagram,
yeah. even Better yeah. Business Bureau and things like mm-hmm. that as a company and a Glassdoor. So,
yeah.
I mean, it here's the bottom line to answer your original question. When you are referred to a borrower, and, you know, real estate agent, let's say, gives your business card and two other business cards to a potential client, that we know 90%+ of the time, the first thing they do is they hop on the internet and they research you. Exactly. So what do you want the first things to be? Your social survey reviews, right?
Right. In a smiling face.
And then
face.
They go, that's social proof when they're reading through and go, wow, you know, this person does a lot of business and their clients love them.
Right.
If your other two competitors in that scenario don't have that, then you've already got a leg up.
You know, I was also one of the things that I'm incorporating into my business this year is using Mortgage Coach. So becoming very familiar with that and sending it to my clients. But in the Mortgage Coach app, there is a social survey linked into that, which I think is really awesome. Because when they look at your presentation, not only are they looking at your presentation, but they're also looking at your social survey reviews.
They've got
well.
Reviews right there on tap to see that you know what it is you're talking about when you send them that total cost analysis, and they just get that feeling, wow, this is a really awesome person. They're professional. They know what they're talking about. And
that's where you're taking your business to the next level when you're using something like Mortgage Coach.
Yes.
Especially if your competitors aren't, you know, you're acting as a true advisor and helping people understand their entire financial picture.
That's so true.
And giving great advice. So that's it becomes no longer transactional, but relational.
Yes.
Even if in the end you don't end up being the one to help that customer. Yeah. You took the extra time and effort and really dove into their life. They're going to remember you and they're going to come back
to you. That's so true. That's so true. I just recently did one this week and I was competing with a bank, and that's somebody that they have a relationship with, a longstanding relationship with. When I showed them how much money they were going to be saving by doing this program with us and just going through everything and taking the time to show them exactly the exact numbers of why this would be a better investment, they just said, we're going to do our loan with you, you know,
that's
and
great.
That was really nice, because it's often hard for mortgage bankers to sometimes compete against banks where the customer already has a relationship with them because they want to keep everything streamlined in-house with the same, you know, bank that they have business with. But when they see value in what you do, that's amazing, I think.
You know, you made me think of a point about, you know, we were talking about one of your clients earlier this week. You know, that big box bank is not going to be taking your phone call, though, on Saturday afternoon. And they're not going to be meeting you at 5:30 when you get off work. I'd like you to maybe speak on that a little bit, because we all do this. And of course, you especially take a really long-term, you know, deep approach with your clients. So
this
you know,
time,
just
don't
speak
name
to
any
that.
Company
names. No,
yeah,
I know.
Don't
no,
name
what
any
I,
company.
What I like to
that
say,
that extra step.
And an analogy I like to use is that we're kind of like doctors or lawyers, because in the beginning we're, you know, preparing a case or preparing a patient for surgery, but we're preparing somebody for a major life event, right? So we get to do what we love. We get to set our own hours. So when we have that call that comes in on Friday evening or Saturday evening or Sunday evening, we sometimes just have to take it.
Right.
You know, just there's no choice, because we have this wonderful job, this wonderful career in which we can help people, you know, achieve a lifetime goal, which is buying a home. We have that flexibility, and we have, obviously, being in this business, we have great earning potential. We have all those things. So we have to be flexible for our clients. And that's not to say that my quality of life is going to be 100% work. You have to find a balance. So there's times where I'm like, no, there's just not going to be an excuse. Like, my kids come first, you know, so we have this whole day planned out, but after this, I can definitely meet you on a Saturday evening. I'll probably bring my daughter with me. She's six years old. She already knows, you know, all the mortgage vocabulary. So, but my family understands, and being married to an originator, we both understand that, hey, you know what? We're on our honeymoon, but we brought our laptops with us because we know how important this is. So we're not just doing this for our own financial gain to just make lots and lots of money. We're doing it because we like what we do, and we like to help people out.
I think,
you know, we could do anything else. I mean, I think whatever you set your mind to, you can do. So we don't necessarily have to do mortgages, but we just happen to be dorking every day and doing mortgages. So that's
you didn't go to college for mortgages?
Yeah.
I didn't either.
So
we like to dork a lot. And you know, our idea of sometimes having fun is getting our laptops together, going to some fancy hotel to eat breakfast there and just bring our laptops and working, because we like to help people solve problems. And that's fun to us. So
yeah.
It is.
Seriously. Yeah,
putting our business out there. Yeah, hashtag true story.
Letting everybody know what we do on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, you see the pictures come in on a Saturday morning with us in our glasses and laptops. That's very true.
That's not staged.
or on a beach in Mexico with our laptops
working. True story.
Like, because I love Mexico and we love to go visit, and you know, it just feels like home to me. So we often take our laptops with us. Mm-hmm. We go out of town.
I mean, when it's time to do work, it's time to do work. So
yeah. Yep. So enough about my schedule and yeah. I do what I do.
Right. As we look at the clock to see if we're on schedule.
Going back to Chris. So what do you hope to accomplish here at Thrive Mortgage?
Oh man, a lot. It's really hard to define. So one of the things I love about Roy Jones and Barbara Jones, our president and CEO, is they at their core, they care about people. Mm-hmm. They don't care about numbers as much. They're not like quota driven, mm-hmm. you know, because I asked the question, we did X number of volume last year. And what's the goal? What's kind of the end game? Where do you want to get to? Because mm-hmm. relatively speaking, we're still a small company. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't think it when you look at us from the outside, just because of all of our marketing and everything that we have.
Right.
But, you know, within the industry, we mm-hmm. relatively are. We have definitely ramped up our growth. Mm-hmm. Always being mindful that as we grow in sales, we need to grow in support as well and never overextend ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we're focusing heavily on both of those. Just to throw out the numbers, last year we were a little over $1 billion in volume.
Yes.
We've, since inception, which I believe is 2001, the mm-hmm. company's grown an average of 28% every year, which mm-hmm. is a really solid number. And when you get up to the billions, then 28% is a very large number.
Right.
We look to accelerate that even more. Mm-hmm. And we've kind of said, again, not trying to fully define it, but if we get to say 5 billion in the next 5 years, maybe then we take a pause and just look back and say, did we do this right? Did we lose, the biggest thing we don't want to lose is that mm-hmm. culture.
Right.
There are some very large companies, the biggest, independent mortgage companies are 20, 30, 40, even 60 billion. You're just a number at that place.
Right.
We don't ever want it to be that way.
Yes.
We all know people that work at those companies, and there's a pros and cons to all of it. But definitely. One of the cons is you do end up kind of being a number. It's very, very difficult to maintain that family culture and the atmosphere that we have. So that's the biggest thing is mm-hmm. not just to grow for the sake of growth, but mm-hmm. grow for the right reasons in the right way with the right people and take the long game. Because I think we're going to win if we do that.
And I think that when we went to our past summit, one of the things that kept resonating in my mind is before I joined Thrive Mortgage, culture is a word that a lot of companies use. I didn't quite understand what culture meant until I experienced real culture at Thrive Mortgage. And I mm-hmm. said, this is real culture.
True.
These are mm-hmm. real people. These are people that care about you and want to see you succeed. Right. They're not number driven. Obviously, we need numbers to sustain our business, but they care more about what you want to do, where you want to go mm-hmm. in your life. If you want to do 5 loans a month and that's just where you want to be at for the remainder of your career, that's fine. They're still going to support you. Or whether you want to be a monster originator and close $400 million a
year. I want more monsters.
Yes.
But.
And I love that. And there's no pressure. It's like, here. Right. Here's your easel. Here's your paintbrush. Go have fun. Go create your business. Right. That's what it's about.
Culture is a real thing here mm-hmm. and not just a catchword to be, used in a meeting to make everyone feel like it's a real thing. It actually is a real thing here. I love working here.
We had a seminar where this doctor came in and was talking about just different things, to better your health because of mm-hmm. during the enrollment period for benefits. And I was like, what company would do that?
Right.
I was like, why are we having this seminar? Do they really care about our health that much? But it's true.
Oh, yeah. Roy Jones, there was a really good webinar. He made available a book, The Price You Pay, mm-hmm. talking about health insurance and preventative care. And just, I mean that, you know, our leadership wants to make sure that we're healthy, right? It's just the same thing you were saying. It's that culture of integrity and caring.
When I joined, I looked at the benefits and it was different. You know, right. I remember talking to some people in the organization about it. Once I got a handle on it, I was like, oh, this is actually like really, really good. You know, I don't know if we want to get into specifics on the health insurance. Just know it's awesome. you know, and all the benefits here are really, really strong. Mm-hmm. So all of my doctors were in network, so I was thrilled.
All right. You're like, I'm good. I'm good. Okay, so the difference between retaining or recruiting.
Yeah, well, they really go hand in hand, don't they? Mm-hmm. You know, and that really where it comes down to the culture that we talk about. If you're doing the right things, you're bringing the right people into the organization, they're going to stay longer naturally. You know, there are times when you have to re-recruit your own employees sometimes, you know, it does happen if someone, for whatever reason, it's not working out, you know, I think here from what I've seen, that doesn't happen nearly as much as some other places because we're trying to really focus on making the right decisions in the first place. And that's a two-way street. It's not just us saying we're over-evaluating the talent. Mm-hmm. It's how making sure we understand who they are, what their desires are, and what they need to succeed. And can we put a plan in place for them to help them transition and grow to where they want to get? Because if we can't, then we're only setting them up for failure, you know? It's a two-way street.
So when you say re-recruit, are you saying like in the sense that if you feel maybe somebody has gone a little off track or maybe the back and forth give and take relationship's gone a little off track, just kind of a re-evaluation?
Yeah, I mean, I look at part of our job in recruiting is to, it's not just, okay, I got you to the point where you want to join Thrive and you signed up and now you're here and I never talk to you again.
Right.
You know? I want to stay with people.
Keep the romance going.
Them, you know, they before their first day, they probably know me or the member of the recruiting team that they're working with at Thrive better than anybody. So we want to take that responsibility, at least in part, to just regularly check up with people. How you doing? Remember when we was recruiting, when we were recruiting, you were talking about this and this and you wanted to do this. How's that going? Are we fostering that for you? Do you need anything from us? You know? They'll tell us stuff that maybe they didn't feel comfortable telling their manager. And then we can say, look, we really want to help this person with A, B, and C that we promised them. And we always want to deliver on our promises.
That's awesome.
So that's kind of how we step in and after people have joined this amazing company. Yeah.
Keeping the romance alive.
That's right.
It's important, right, hon?
Keeping it alive. And you know what I was going to ask you as a recruiter? I'm a little floored, right?
Stop saying that word.
Okay, as a talent acquisition manager. Talent attraction manager. Okay.
Pretty close.
So I just, you know, we just joined Thrive in the beginning of October, or actually September 27th, right?
Correct. Actually, September 30th, Monday.
It's like, you know, I'm getting messages in my LinkedIn box, and I don't regularly check my messages because it seems like I get a lot of spam now. So I'm like, look, if you want to talk to me, call my phone. You know, or email me. Don't slam my LinkedIn message box because I'm not going to check it or respond unless, I don't know, I just happen to be bored one day and check it, you know. But I did get a message from somebody and I just replied back. I said, I just got married to Thrive Mortgage. I'm still in the honeymoon stage and, you know, I plan on this marriage working out. So if anything were to ever change, of course, like, you know, people would know. But I mean, I just don't understand why, you know, they feel that they can come in and kind of shake up a happy marriage. Like, what's gonna take me away from Thrive Mortgage? Yeah. So what do you think about that?
It's a delicate thing. I mean, I personally am, I love LinkedIn for what it can bring us, but it's not utilized in the proper way most of the time, in my opinion. I never want the very first, like, mode of contact or medium of contact with somebody that I'd like to converse with about joining Thrive. I don't want it to be anything other than voice to voice or face to face.
Exactly.
I'm not a big fan of just, especially if you get the ones on LinkedIn where it's obvious that it was sent to 1,000 people at once.
Right.
It's the same exact thing.
It's like, do you even know who I am?
You're just trying to drain the swamp. You know, this is a relationships business and you need to be actively establishing relationships. By getting referrals and doing research, you know, where I think LinkedIn comes in is someone's been identified in my universe that I'd like to talk to, and I want to learn more about them before I pick up the phone and call them. So I'll go through their LinkedIn, I'll go through their social media, and have some points in their, even their social survey reviews if they have them or whoever they use. And then that gives me some talking points to actually build a real relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm licensed. So I still get recruiting calls from people just working off a list of people who have a license. And mm-hmm. it never fails. I answer the phone and it's, hey, so-and-so from so-and-so company.
I know. I want
to see if you're interested in branch opportunities. Like, you didn't look me up at all, did you? First of all, I closed zero loans last year because I'm not a loan officer, but I have a license.
And it's usually like at the most awkward moments.
It
like
seems that way, doesn't
it? I'm like,
it?
I'm in the middle of a file or I'm picking up my kids and I'm like, do you have a chance to talk? And I'm like, nope. And then my daughter's screaming in the background. Like,
yeah, you know? If you don't have the screaming kid in the background, which is usually a good way to get off the phone.
I'm like,
I just tell people straight up.
I'm like, Sydney, make as much noise scream. As you can. Scream, say
or
mommy.
Take the toy away from her and get her to scream on your own. I just tell people, you know what? You caught me at an awkward moment. And what's great about that is they don't ask what that awkward moment is. Yeah. You catch them off guard and like, I'm going to have to talk to you later. So.
You know what's interesting though? I try to still take the call because I want to learn about the other company.
Yeah.
I'm going to be polite, but I also want to learn about the other company. You know, they're my competition. Yes.
That's so, true. Yeah, I had some mortgage company info sent to me in the mail the other day, and Ivan's like, "Why did you get this?" And I was like, "I kind of want to just know what they're doing."
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's
good
point.
The nature of our
really
business.
Good point.
You know,
point to study
with the whole housing crisis we had and everything, mm-hmm. and the kind of the black eye our industry got, and the regulations that are in mm-hmm. place, which I agree we need regulations, but one of the negatives of that is barriers to entry in our industry. There's not a lot of young folks getting in because it is very difficult, and mm-hmm. the education and the licensing, which is important, but right. also the nature of working on commission and not getting a paycheck as you're getting started, and how competitive things are. So the problem is, if we want to grow as an organization, mm-hmm. we need to attract talented people with an established base of business. Now that excludes people coming fresh out of college or mm-hmm. whatever, or another industry, in many ways, because it's so much that we would have to invest to get them to the point, and it's so much that they would right. have to have saved to mm-hmm. not get a paycheck. You know, I love some of the initiatives that we do that I won't get into the details, but where we can really help people like that, because mm-hmm. we need new blood. We just do. We are all very young in this industry.
We need new blood, but we need
three of us.
I know, but we need
even
good blood.
I've been 16 years. I think you're at least
16
as long.
Years,
so,
yeah. Yeah, so that would be a perfect LO, but as far as like bringing in a new LO that doesn't have an experience, I think that one of the initiatives that we need to work on as a company is an internship mm-hmm. kind of, you know, program. Yep. So that's definitely something we'll
that
have
would
to
be
visit
a good
about.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because not everybody, I mean, we had this discussion before. Mm-hmm. It seems like a lot of people get into this business and be a loan officer by accident.
Yep.
So it seems a lot less accidents are happening. Yeah, a lot less accidents are happening.
I was a loan
officer
assistant when I started.
You know what
which is
I
a great
was?
Way to start.
I was a mail stuffer for a broker.
An envelope. Yes.
I mean, that's basically
stuffer.
What I did. Remember the old manila folders, left side, right side, and make sure they get in the FedEx down
yes.
the operations.
Oh
right.
my gosh. I was like, yeah. you know what? I need a paycheck. And then it turned into a career. So. Okay, so where do you see Thrive Mortgage in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, and so on?
Yeah, that gets back to that question from before. I won't put a number on it. I would we'll probably be mm-hmm. 3 to 5 billion in 3 to 5 years. But again, the focus is more about how many families are we helping, how well are we doing mm-hmm. that, what is our reputation in the industry, and I believe the way that we do things that people are going to start to take notice. I mean, they already have. Even for me personally, when I started talking to Thrive, mm-hmm. I already had a mental impression in my mind of what Thrive was, and mm-hmm. it was very positive. And that has to do with our marketing team.
Sure.
First and foremost, like our marketing team is ridiculously good.
I mean, we have like the best of the best in our marketing department.
Yeah.
Seriously.
This company is very, very forward thinking, not afraid to be on the cutting edge of technologies and programs and products. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really going to help us with our growth. And I think that if you haven't heard of Thrive and you're in the real estate or mortgage industry, 3-5 years from now, you absolutely will have. There's a lot of companies that everybody knows of. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be one of those.
Absolutely. I believe that. And if you're in the Champion Forest area, you're really about to hear about us.
Yeah, you really are.
We're going to come in with the Thrive Mortgage baseball bat into your office.
We have a theme song that I made up at the summit, and I'm going to play it on this podcast. So if you've listened through the whole time, you're going to get to hear our Thrive.
Oh, I love it.
Notorious THRIVE.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I want to hear that.
Yeah, you're definitely going to have to hear it. Okay, so now we're getting to the fun part. All right, Chris. All right. What's one fun fact about Chris Karageorge?
Oh, man. thank you for the heads up on that question, by the way.
Yeah.
No. I overcame a debilitating fear of flying when I was younger.
Really?
And to the point where international travel is my favorite thing to do. So 15 to 20 plus years ago, you couldn't get me on an airplane if you tried.
Oh, wow.
Now nice. I look forward to a 15-hour flight to some exotic country.
That's crazy.
Awesome. Alcohol helps.
Yeah, it does.
But when the plane kind of shakes, you're like, oh.
I don't like turbulence, but,
yeah.
You know, just the excitement of it and stuff. And I know that's a weird fact, but, you know.
No, that's a good, either that's a fun fact or a weird fact.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the other one is I'm from Minnesota and I'm a diehard Vikings fan. So.
Okay. What superhero did you want to be when you were little?
Oh, I don't know if I was really into superheroes. I was more into sports and stuff, not comic books and things. So,
yeah. What was your favorite sports star?
Okay.
What's that?
What was your favorite sports star?
Charles Barkley.
I was about to ask you, the question everybody wants to know, who are you voting for in November?
Oh, really?
No, don't answer that. Do not answer that. That was a total joke.
This is a fun show.
Yes,
come on.
Do not answer that.
Oh,
okay?
I'm so done with all politics already.
Exactly. We just want to live, just live and prosper and just
thrive.
Thrive. I don't get into politics on any type of level, Facebook. I already have enough on my plate. I'm helping families get into homes, so I don't have time for that.
Keep it light, keep it positive.
And on that note,
exactly.
We should wrap it up now.
Yeah. And on that note,
as a matter of fact.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think this episode is cleared to close.
Are we cleared to close already?
So
very well done.
Keep on thriving.
With Angela and Ivan.
Bye.
Notorious Thrivers. Notorious Thrivers. Notorious Thrivers. Notorious Thrivers. Notorious Thrivers.